The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome in to the Husker 24/7 podcast on a Sunday after a newsy Saturday that featured Nebraska's defensive tackle getting a pin on the wrestling mat, a former head coach cheering him on, the entire staff that was basically there at the wrestling meet. Oh, and by the way, Nebraska picked up a couple commitments this weekend as well out of the transfer portal. Lots of stuff happening here in Lincoln with the Nebraska football team. So what better time to bring in the experts and talk about what's going on with Husker football. So welcome in Michael Bruntz, Brian Christofferson. Gentlemen, how's your weekend going?
Not bad. It's good that you're getting kind of the, you're getting the two ways in the portal now. You're getting guys that are coming out of the portal, which is good, right?
Yeah. Well, this brings them up to three additions for the year.
Filling needs and adding dudes. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, you had a kind of lonely, you had a, like a ongoing fluid portal chart you're running, Bruntz, and it was kind of lonely. It was all leaving and nobody entering, and it's nice. It's nice that the door's open here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like one of those Midwest Rust Belt cities. Nobody's actually coming to live there, and everyone's leaving to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
But now you've been revitalized downtown.
We're Pittsburgh. Everybody's coming back. Everybody's wearing their finally pressed Greg Lloyd jerseys. They're feeling good. They're coming back to the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, although Bruntz, your list doesn't count the Husker portal, as Rule referred to it right after the in his signing day press conference. That's the guys like Gifford, and you should have like a Husker portal. Gifford, that's, Ben Hart, Ty Robinson, Nash, maybe.
It's an alternative portal, like you go over here.
That portal's like getting shut down for good at the end of, 2025? So there's a finite life of that portal based on, the end of the free COVID year, which I will happily look forward to.
One more question before we get started. So guys that
started, what are we doing?
Yeah, I know. Guys that, like, let's say 2 years ago went in the portal and they never had anywhere that they went. Like, they never found anywhere to go. Are they still in there? Or do they, like,
can we get them
out? Like, it's like Christmas. You pick everything up, you put it away for the year, and then you get it back out the next year. Or are there still guys, like, is there like a defensive back with like a year left of eligibility that's just been like sitting in that portal for 2 years?
It could be like a very modern Twilight Zone episode for a very niche audience, like guys who get stuck in the transfer portal. I would definitely watch that for 40 minutes though, if someone came up with a clever plot with that.
Well, here's a former Husker that might be on the schedule next year. We were asked about, he's changed his name a little bit. We were asked about RJ Delancey, and I had to look that up. That's Ronald Delancey, former class of 2020. Played for Nebraska for 1 year, did not see on the field action, if I recall. Transferred to Toledo, played for 2 years for the Rockets. Maybe it's could have played 3 years for the Rockets. And then now is being heavily courted, it seems, by Wisconsin. So, the portal journeys continue deep into the career.
It's like the Tom Hanks movie, The Terminal, where he just gets stuck in the portal for like, just stuck in between.
Never seen that movie.
It's all right. You're not missing much.
Hey, I don't need to run out and watch it.
I would not.
Is it a more feel-good story than The Iron Claw, which I went to yesterday? Are you guys familiar with that movie?
No.
Does the Von Erich brothers mean anything to either? Probably not BC. Brunts, maybe. No. He's a wrestling guy.
No.
Yeah, just read the Wikipedia entry on the Von Erich family and just, yeah, that got turned into a movie released around Christmas if you want the anti-feel-good story.
Okay, that's good.
So, all right, let's dive into things that people want to feel good about, and that's Nebraska's transfer portal recruiting after adding Dante Dowdell, the running back out of Oregon. Let's just start there. This is Nebraska's only running back addition so far in the 2024 class. Likely will be their only running back addition. And I don't want to put words in your guys' mouth, but for me personally, this feels like a pretty big addition for the Huskers. And I'm not just saying that because our Oregon writer referred to Dante Dowdell as a massive human being. So I'm excited to see what that looks like as a running back. But I think this is a really important addition for Nebraska. What have you learned, BC? I know you just talked with, I believe, his dad here earlier on Sunday morning.
Yeah, his stepfather, Lawrence Hopkins, who was on the trip with them. And, I mean, they, as Bruns likes to say, they checked all the boxes. Nebraska did. I mean, they like the tradition of the position at Nebraska. I think that means something to the family. That's well connected to college football. Lawrence Hopkins like is kind of in the industry, so he knows all about that stuff, and he likes that EJ Barthel calls Nebraska the original running back U, and they want to build that back up. And speaking of Barthel, give him a lot of credit on this one. Lawrence Hopkins really cited him as a guy that he feels can develop Dante. Dante believed that. They like his track record. They checked around with other coaches to see what they thought of Coach Barthel, and he got good remarks from them. And it seems like he was really had a successful weekend with the family, sort of showing what his vision is, and also telling them the staff made it clear nothing's given here. This is going to be a competition. You're going to have to earn it. And Lawrence Hopkins said of Dante Dowdell, that's what he wants. That he's a guy who wants to come in and earn everything he gets. He wants to be the best guy in the room. He expects he can be the best guy in the room, but he's also not going to say it. He just wants to go out and do it. So that was the gist of that conversation I had with him. And he also likes the fullback, this new running back. I guess he ran behind one a lot in high school where he had more than, he had like 4,700 yards his last two seasons, if you add them up. And the fullback was blocking in front of him, and he likes that Nebraska utilizes that some. And so all that kind of appealed to him.
Brunts, as you sort of look at this, what do you think the addition of Dante Dowdell means for that running back room? I mean, he's leaving a place in Oregon where he, you know, was expected to be no better than third or fourth on the depth chart. They use 2 to 3 running backs a game. And so he was like right on the edge of where he would get a little bit of time, but it was going to be, you know, pretty minimal. And the people in front of him still had multiple years of eligibility. He ends up at a place in Nebraska where you've got a crowded room of contributors, but no one that's a standout. What do you think that means in terms of his addition to that room?
Yeah. I mean, there might be kind of the same number of cast of characters, you know, at Nebraska as what there was in Oregon, but I think there's a lot more question marks at Nebraska. I mean, you lose Anthony Grant, you have Ramir Johnson coming back off of an injury, you have a back in Gabe Irvin Jr., who I think profiles size-wise pretty close to Dowdell, you know, is kind of that 215, 220-pound back. He's coming off of a major hip injury. You know, you liked what you saw from Emmett Johnson last year in fits and spurts. And I think, you know, his development is kind of on an upward track. We know that the coaching staff likes Quentin Ives, but we haven't seen him. So, you know, it seems like there's a lot of opportunity at Nebraska for a guy that, you know, from what we heard at Oregon, was just basically a talented back and a really talented group of running backs. And, you know, that I know that Matt Rhule said in December, you know, we like the running backs, we like the room, but I mean, they were always going to try to find somebody to add to that group. I mean, you had to, because I mean, you saw at the end of this last year how quickly you can thin through your depth. And I still think a guy like Ramir Johnson, he's still, I don't know that he's still seen as that every down back. I mean, I think he's still kind of seen as a Swiss Army knife piece where maybe you split him out, you use him in different roles. So I think that's why the Dowdell addition in particular is huge, because it was a group that needed depth. It needed a guy that could come in right away and be the guy. And, you know, I think, you know, depending on how the injury picture looks for Irvin and Johnson, you know, he's going to get a lot of looks in spring ball to go in there and kind of, you know, put a little distance between himself and the guys that were on the roster last year. So I think for him, it's a great opportunity. And certainly, you know, I think Nebraska's really starved for somebody that can come in and be a consistent back. Because it's Divine Azigbo is the last 1,000-yard rusher they've had, right? Still. Yes. So, yeah. I mean, you're going on 5-6 years. So it's, you know, there's a chance for him to come in and really do something, I think.
Yeah, no doubt about it. BC, though, the interesting thing to me, Nebraska hasn't taken a lot of transfer portal running backs. The one that I can think of, the one real transfer that I can think of is Marquise Stepp, and another Pac-12 guy, another highly regarded high school recruit, 4-star. He came out of Indiana. He was at USC for longer than Dante Dowdell was at Oregon. But when he got to Nebraska, it just did not work well. What do you remember of the Marquise Stepp thing? Because it's the same sort of situation. It's a wide open running back room. But what ultimately happened in that 2021 season is Ramir Johnson emerged by the middle of the year as Nebraska's, you know, best option as running back. What do you remember of Marquise Stepp? Why do you think it could go differently for Dante Dowdell?
Well, I don't want to knock him. I just don't think once we actually saw Marquise and he got here, he was okay. And that was kind of it. You know, I don't think he was beyond that. And, you know, you hope Dowdell's just a better version of that. As Brunt says, he's got the size. He's a impressive, you know, with the measurements. I think he's 6'2", 210. Is that what it is? His listing. So he's got that bigger back frame. I guess what I like about, I wrote this on Saturday night. If you look at Dowdell's high school career, and I know you can say, okay, what's the competition where he was playing in Mississippi compared to other parts? I don't know. But he ran for like 400, 600, 700 yards the last two seasons. And I always, when I see numbers like that, I'm like, that's the way it should be if you're going to be a stud, like in college. Like, you should be dominating that level in high school to that degree if there's even a possibility that you're going to be really good at this level. Sometimes I'll see a running back commit in high school as like 870 yards his senior year or something. And it kind of doesn't compute in my brain. Maybe he had some injuries, but I'm always like, man, it should be more than that, right? If this guy's going to be a stud at the next level. So I know that's really basic point to make about his stats, and we can get into what the competition was like. But I love that he just like dominated at the previous level. And then I think you get the best of both worlds a little bit in this one, because you're basically getting a top 247 24/7 recruit from a cycle ago, who had 1 year of seeing what it's like in the big time, you know, ranks of college football, what it sort of takes behind the scenes, watching it at Oregon. And you hope he kind of grew from that experience, but yet he didn't get too much wear on his tires from that year either. And so you're hoping that now it's going to take off, and you've got just a more experienced version of, like, if you got a top 24/7 back in this class, now you got that plus a little extra. So that's what you're hoping for.
And before Nebraska picked up the Dante Dowdell commitment over the weekend, they picked up a commitment from Isaiah Nayer late on Friday night. Brunts, what can you tell us about the Texas Wyoming wide receiver who hasn't done much in 22 or 23, but was an 800-yard, 12-touchdown receiver for Wyoming in 2021 before he had a really serious knee injury that pretty much wiped out all of 22. And then Texas, as we know, loaded at wide receiver, tough to break in there.
Yeah, no, you kind of glazed it pretty good there. I think, you know, what he did at Wyoming, he was a really big deep play threat. His first year, he averaged almost 30 yards a catch. You mentioned the 800 yards. His second year there, 12 touchdowns, was really good on deep balls. You know, kind of, you can say whatever you want to say, I guess, about Pro Football Focus and the rankings and things like that. They had him as the number 20 overall receiver in the country his sophomore year. He was really highly ranked. He had some really good performances in the Mountain West. And, you know, where he really shined was on deep balls. I think 30 or so of his catches went for first downs. He was really, you know, caught a high percentage of deep balls that season as well. So, and then he goes to Texas, hurts his knee in fall camp in 22, wipes out that year, and then really kind of gets buried on the depth chart. I mean, I think he played 8 snaps this past year for Texas. He had one catch. Nebraska's kind of betting a little bit that he can be more of the Wyoming version versus the Texas version. I think you're probably going to see a guy that comes in pretty hungry to show who he actually is, and that, you know, the Texas years are maybe a bit of a blip there. He's 6'3", 205, 210, really wide catch radius. And, you know, the thing I think that's really important for Nebraska in this sense is it gives you a veteran wide receiver. I mean, you look at the way the classes are right now, it's a lot of sophomores, a lot of true freshmen. Demetrius Bell is going to be a redshirt freshman. I mean, basically it's Alex Bullock and, you know, now Isaiah Nayer as kind of the veteran guys. Garcia Castaneda is coming back from the injury too. We don't know where he's at. So that was a really important get. And also they're getting a physically different wide receiver than what they have outside of Malachi Coleman in that group. So kind of betting on a high upside guy. But I think the kind of trajectory that he's on seems to be a guy that's going to come in ready to prove what he can be again.
BC, Brunt's kind of steamrolled right through it, but what do you think this does for the room, and what do you think the room looks like? You pretty much answered both questions I had on.
Why don't you tell us when was his birthday? What year was he born? Day?
That I don't know. I emptied the tank on everything.
What's
I know.
Zodiac sign?
Yeah.
Bruns did handle it well, so I won't say too much. The ACL, he tore his ACL in the camp of August of 22. Is that right? Nayer did?
Yes.
And yes. I kind of backtracked through our archives and our system a little bit to read up on him. And it felt like prior to that injury, Sark really liked him, Sarkisian. Like to the point where he was maybe in line to be one of their starters, I think, like as of that fall camp. And so I guess that's the part that intrigues me the most of all this, the Wyoming stuff. If he didn't have that, we wouldn't be, you know, he wouldn't get these type of opportunities. But the fact that he went to a place that has so much talent at the skill positions like Texas does, obviously, and he was right there in the top 3 or 4 prior to the injury, that makes me think like he's worth the chance here. Like now let's see what he can do. He's probably in full health. Sometimes it does take like a full year till you're really yourself again. And it doesn't shock me that he didn't just like bounce right back out there this season and dominate or anything, but maybe Nebraska's catching him at that moment where he gets that second wind after an injury that guys get, and you're hoping so. So I did think Bronce's steamrolling work was pretty effective, though. So I'll rest my comments on it right there. So
BC, you did it great, though, because you set this up, because I talked with somebody who was very familiar with Texas in 2022 and familiar with Isaiah Nayer and his camp. And he was the talk of the camp up until that injury. Injury really took the wind out of the sails. They ended up having enough wide receivers, and they have really good ones, but you're absolutely right. I mean, he was in line to be a starter before that injury. Steve Sarkisian actually really liked him quite a bit, according to the person that I was talking to, and liked him this past year, but they were so loaded at wide receiver that it was hard to get him on the field. And he just wasn't at the same level that he was during that camp. But when he left to go to Wyoming to Texas, they thought they were getting a potential number one wide receiver. And more than that, and perhaps most importantly, they thought they were getting a guy that was going to be a really big weapon for them in the red zone. That is an area where he could be really helpful for Nebraska with his size that you guys have mentioned. It's an area where Nebraska really has struggled passing the ball in the red zone for the last decade plus, basically. And so to have a bigger receiver, and it doesn't even have to be a 6'5" guy that can jump out of the gym, but have a big physical receiver that can create the space or can go up and catch contested balls. He was doing a lot of that in the practices leading up to the injury. But yeah, you absolutely nailed something that I wanted to mention, which is Texas was really high on him pre that injury. And then it just, the way that he came back, at the timing that he came back, he just got passed up by so many receivers. And if anybody watched, you know, Washington, Texas, they have talent on the outside. And so I'm glad you brought that up, because that was something I had heard before he'd even committed to Nebraska. This is a guy Texas really had high hopes for in 22.
The other thing is, I mean, he doesn't have to come in and be Trey Palmer necessarily, like that type of season. Like if he were a Marcus Washington type of player prior to the injury, where you got 400, 500 yards out of him and the young guys come along with him, that can work. That, you know, if that formula would be successful. And I'm not saying he can't shoot for higher than that, or he couldn't be a lot better than that. I'm just saying even that would be a very successful addition, as other guys hopefully really take their game up a notch in 24.
I don't know if this is how statistically significant this is, but it seemed like a high percentage to me, but like a quarter of his snaps at Wyoming were out of the slot. And then at least like, it feels like it gives you a little bit of like formational, you know, you can adapt things. Yeah, like you can adapt things a little bit there. I mean, when you have a guy with that kind of size over the middle, I think that helps a quarterback quite a bit. But I mean, you can see where, okay, you've got Dylan Raiola now. You have stated that you want to get the ball deep. You want to take some deep shots. This type of an addition and his strengths that he's shown in the past, I mean, it seems to line up quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy for me to see in my head Nebraska taking shots downfield. I mean, I have Andrew Ivins in the back of my head saying that Dylan Raiola throws as good of a deep ball as any freshman and or any incoming freshman or outgoing senior, however you want to phrase it, that he's seen in a long time. You know, the best deep ball in the class. Nebraska has weapons already on their roster, and Jalen Lloyd, Malachi Coleman, and others that can get down the field. It's very possible that if they can build this thing off of the play action deep ball, they're going to be very similar to what Baylor did when they were successful under Matt Rhule. And I think that's kind of where this thing is going to go. I do want to ask one Dylan Raiola question here before we hit the break. But Brunts, I mean, we saw the picture of Dante Dowdell jumping over Dylan Raiola. We know that he was on a recruiting mission when he was at the basketball game on Thursday, as he was sitting with Trev Alberts and, Isaiah Nair was at the basketball game. And so what do you make of this? Because we didn't get to see a lot of Raiola recruiting when he was committed to Nebraska, but he certainly stepped it up now that there's transfer portal guys coming in, and he's as visible as he possibly can be for this program right now.
Yeah, no, it's noteworthy for sure. And I, you know, guys coming in for visits talking about, I mean, Jamal Banks said that one of the reasons that he was interested in Nebraska, or told BC this, was that because, you know, of Raiola. I'm eager to see what that looks like in 25 and 26. I mean, you got to think that
I think they're going to get some freshmen or some juniors, I guess, this spring that are going to show up because of Dylan Raiola.
Yeah. Really. Like wide receivers, skill position players want to play with a quarterback like that. It's a name, it's a talented name. And you know, this weekend, I think he showed that he's a willing peer recruiter. So that's all good. And now that you've got him on campus, you know, he's everywhere, which is a good thing. So, yeah, I mean, we hit on this, I think, right around signing day. I mean, the one disappointing thing was that you didn't get kind of that pure recruiting juice in 24, but I think there's going to be a pretty strong carryover to 25 and 26.
All right, let's take a quick timeout before we answer this question. Why in the hell was Dana Holgorsen in Lincoln at a wrestling match? How's that for a tease? We'll be right back.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So, Nash Hutmaker, the Nebraska defensive tackle turned heavyweight for the wrestling team, wrestled on Saturday in, I believe, a triangular. Is that what it was? I mean, you had multiple different teams there in town.
Yeah.
Ends up with a pin. Really cool video. The split screen video of the Nebraska coaching staff and Evan Cooper completely losing his mind with Nash getting that pin, I think, in the first period of his first match against a collegiate heavyweight. It was really, really cool. One of the other things that came out of this, though, it appears Dana Holgorsen, former Houston, former West Virginia coach, at the wrestling match. What do you make of this, BC?
Yeah, it did appear to be him. There was a photo that quickly found its way through the Husker cyberspace, and it looked like a clean cut Dana Holgorsen. Like he'd got a fresh cut, is
your
what I'm saying.
Your cuts are in right now.
Yeah. He looks like you.
I'm like 20 years younger.
We should have brought that up earlier. But yeah, he had the same thing going on that you do. Very clean cut look. Matt Dienitz, from Husker 20 or from 24/7 Sports,
work for Husker 24/7.
Well, he helped us out. He confirmed, Saturday, that there Holgorsen is in talks for a role, a possible role on Nebraska's staff. Now, what that can be, of course, the imagination's danced immediately. Like, well, are they going to rearrange, you know, the chairs now? Could he be like a QB's coach, whatever? That's possible. I also think it's possible, as we've seen is in vogue now, for some guys who have been head coaches to go be an analyst someplace for a year or whatever they want while they decide what they're, what is next on their plate. And so that could be in play for sure, I would think, that type of role. That's what we know, I think, at this point. Beyond that, it's just like kind of a funny story that Dana Holgorsen, who's been a head coach at West Virginia and Houston, is right there. But, you know, it could be because he's quickly going to be part of this coaching staff soon. So that would, I mean, if you do the math, that's what you come up with. And it's hard to, like, look away from that equation at this point.
What if he just heard about this? What if he just heard about this Huttmaker kid? He was like, I want to go see this kid wrestle.
I got to see this guy. This is amazing. He's going to
call him the polar bear. I want to see what this is all about.
Yeah. I mean, that's possible. That's certainly possible. What other thoughts you got, Brent?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You know, whatever that role ends up being, I think that kind of shapes the conversation. If it's an analyst type role, he can certainly be valuable in terms of ideas and, you know, coaching and things like that. I mean, he's coached quarterbacks at a number of spots. He's, you know, been in charge of really high flying offenses. It's interesting because I don't know that he necessarily, like, the heart of who he is as a coordinator doesn't necessarily line up with what the stated goals have been of, you know, what Nebraska's trying to do as an offense. I do wonder if that picture changes when you all of a sudden sign a couple of Elite 11 quarterbacks and what that can be. But I mean, if it's an on-field role, I mean, that's even more intriguing to me because, you know, of his track record, like I said, the offenses that he's been associated with, his own offenses. And I think, you know, he showed at times a willingness to have a power running game with the spread air raid stuff that, he, you know, kind of comes from that tree. So it's we'll see where it goes. I mean, I you have to think it's somewhat far along in those discussions if you're going to a wrestling match with the entire staff. Like, you know, it's a little bit of a public hangout, I guess, for somebody that's just in conversations.
Yeah. I look at it like it would make a lot of sense to me if you were Dana Holgorsen and you were looking for how to reset the narrative on yourself or set yourself up for your next job to attach yourself to a guy like Dylan Raiola and his experience with quarterback. And I don't know whether it'll be as an analyst or as a quarterback's coach or whatever the position is, but if he can get some run off of whatever happens with Raiola, and if it goes well, that's going to make him really hireable in the next sort of coaching cycle, especially, you know, if Nebraska actually takes a step forward as a program and a lot of it is because they have this sort of quarterback and you can be attached to that, it's going to help all of those guys. But specifically, if you're looking to rehabilitate yourself, you want to put yourself in a position where it's going to be successful. I think that that could be a smart move for Dana Holgorsen. It is really interesting thinking about the offenses that he has run relative to what Matt Rhule has largely been. But then I go back to the kind of Rhule's comment that he made on his own. I don't remember if this was at the end of the season or if it was a random Monday press conference, but he sort of like mentioned that if you look at, and I think it was in relation to Tony White to some degree, if you look at like his history as a coach, his defenses have always been good. And then he kind of was like, and my offenses have kind of always been mediocre. And so, you know, there could be a little bit of a self scout there where it's like, maybe I need to do something somewhat different, and bringing in a guy who thinks differently or runs things differently on offense. And especially as Nebraska attempts to develop their passing game, you could see where you could get a lot out of picking the brain of a Dana Holgorsen. You know, if you're part of this offensive staff, even if he's just an analyst, he might be able to add a few things that Nebraska simply either lacks the creativity to do or doesn't or hasn't considered. And I think that makes him a pretty valuable asset, regardless of whether it's on the field or in this analyst role.
Yeah. And if it's an analyst role, I mean, sometimes I think people hear that, they're like, okay, that's not as exciting. You can have a pretty big say in some of the ideas behind the scenes in a role like that. And as you've heard Rhule speak also at the signing day press conference about how he likes how the defense is a, kind of a positionless defense, right, where they can move all these pieces around, and he wants the offense to be similar. So you think of like guys who are coming in and some of the hybrid type players they have, whether it's a Keelan Smith or a Carter Nelson or whomever that you could use in different ways.
Jaden Goss.
Yeah, exactly. Those would be guys who Dana Holgorsen, I mean, whatever his track record was, wins and losses as a head coach, he's been highly regarded as an offensive mind in college football for a long time. I remember when he was the OC for Gundy at Oklahoma State, I believe it was in the, they had the game against Nebraska, it was 51-41 or whatever it was. That was one of Pelini's better wins when you look back at it. But Holgorsen's offense at that point and throughout his career has always been interesting, and it's evolved and been sort of dynamic in some of the ideas it has. So if you put a guy like that in your room, whatever title you put behind him, that's always good. You just want to surround yourself with guys who have had success like he's had as far as offensive football.
Absolutely. All right. Anything else we want to get to before we close up shop today? I'm sure we're going to be back. It's been a couple of weeks since we've had a Husker 24/7 podcast. We've been focused largely on just some basketball when we have been doing the podcasting, but we'll be back into a more regular rotation, I'm sure, this week. And BC and I will be having the Husker 24/7 hoops cast that comes out on Tuesday. We can talk about two wildly different games for Nebraska between Indiana and Wisconsin. So we'll have that coming up. But anything else you guys want to get to this week? There's still the chance of Jamal Banks, Stephon Thompson has been discussed as well. There's still some potential additions, but it does feel like, guys, that largely this is getting turned to 2025. And when these coaches go hit the road here, we're still a week, I think, away from that. Or is it a week, or does it happen this week? My schedule is all thrown off.
I think it's this coming.
Is it Thursday this week? Yeah.
It's this coming week because they're the AFCA conventions right now. Yeah.
Yeah, so they'll be hitting the road here starting Thursday or Friday. I'm not anticipating a lot of 2024s, but I do think they have really kind of turned the page to 2025. We know there's a January 20th, I believe, Junior Day coming up. Pierce Mooberry was telling me about it. They're certainly going to be trying to bring in some talent for that weekend, but it does feel like this is, you know, moving pretty heavily to 2025.
Yeah. There's the value that they had too last year when they, during this like couple week stretch, I mean, that they went and saw Grant Bricks, Carter Nelson, a lot of guys that ended up being part of the class. I think you're absolutely right that there's going to be more of a forward facing approach in these next couple weeks.
BC?
Yeah, I don't have much to add. I mean, I think when this portal process started, we knew the numbers of incoming guys would be very limited because it's a tight squeeze right now with the rosters. And, you know, at this point there, as we're doing this, there's three additions. That's about what I would have guessed. So if maybe there's one more, I don't know, but three or four is about in that probably wheelhouse of where we thought this would be. So there's really been no surprise on that front for how it's played out. And they've gotten better in some spots. We'll see if there's one surprise still or one big announcement along the way. But at this point, even if it closes down right here, I think they feel pretty good about what they've added. And like you guys say, it's what can you get out of this 25 class now that this staff has had time to build relationships as a Husker coach toward it. It's going to be an interesting cycle.
No doubt about it. And we'll have all the coverage for you here at Husker 24/7. Last thing before we go, the championship game on Monday night. I want a prediction from Michael Bruntz. Who walks out champion from, I don't know, is it Reliant, Allegiant? I don't know what they play at in Houston. Who's walking out? The Big Ten get a champion for the first time since 2014? Does the Pac-12 have their first playoff champion at the same time that the entire conference is being, you know, boarded up and discarded like a Kmart from the 90s, and it's now 2022?
Give me Washington. Yeah.
Why?
I think the defense is just opportunistic enough. I'm concerned about their ability to stop the run consistently, though. And I think Penix is going to have a good game. That's my prediction.
BC?
I hope Bruntz is right. I think Michigan's going to win by 10.
10?
Yeah.
BC with the win and the cover. Is it close at any point?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be a hard-fought game. I mean, that's a gambler question there. Like, the 10 can be a close game. These guys who get caught up like, oh, it's a 4.5 spread. How dare you could say they could win by 10? It could be a three-point game, and a guy has a pick six in the last minute or something, you know. But, yeah, it'll be a hard-fought 10-point win.
Yeah, I'm just checking. We're coming off of what, a 65-7 national title game, so I think it was fair to ask.
Yeah,
that game I made it 3 minutes into before just not paying attention to it again. So I'm hoping this championship game goes a lot better. Give me Washington with completing the ultimate season, spoiling the Michigan Wolverines. I'm kind of with Brunson that I think Michael Penix has one great performance left in him. I think this Michigan team has not been tested as much, which is wild to say. They just beat Ohio State, Alabama, and I guess you can throw Iowa in there if you want to for their last three games. But I think that Washington has played week in and week out a much tougher schedule. They've been challenged in a variety of different ways. I think the Oregon team that they beat was one of the best teams in the country, and they did it twice. And quite frankly, they kind of took it to Oregon. Like, that second game never should have been close. And so I think they're going to be as prepared for a smash-mouth football game in which Michigan can also throw the ball. And I like Washington to show up and win this game. And I hope it's competitive, and I hope it's fun. I really enjoyed those two semifinals, and so I would love to see a memorable championship game here on Monday. All right, gentlemen, be sure to load up on the Icy Hot to do some calisthenics. Looks like we're going to be scooping the driveway and the sidewalks on Monday as well. A lot of snow allegedly in the forecast. Brunch, your kids probably aren't going to school.
I know. It's
deep sigh that nobody got to hear because
I know. I'm expecting 2 days of continued break, which is just great. Just great. Right.
All right, for Michael Bruns, for Brian Christofferson, I'm Mike Shaver. We're Husker 24/7. Be sure to check it out. Everything we have going on at Husker247.com. Plenty of coverage of the transfer portal stuff. Plenty of coverage as we switch to 2025. Plenty of coverage of basketball. We got baseball around the corner. That's going to be coming up. You know, Bruns is working up the content there. So we have all of it for you. So be sure to stop by Husker 24/7.